when God calls your name. You know, in a few weeks, we're going to have a service of baptism here. And Riley Burnside and John Humphrey and Eva Payne are going to be baptized. Dave Blanton is going to join the church. We're going to have a time of family dedication for the Payne family. It's going to be a great morning. And one of the things we believe is that God has called each of their names and said, come, follow me. You know, there's no greater feeling in the world than when someone knows your name, and especially that someone is God. When he calls your name, when he knows your name. There's a song that I think goes perfectly with this theme, and it was sung by Francesca Battistelli. It's titled, He Knows My Name, and the lyrics go like this. I don't need my name in lights. I'm famous in my Father's eyes. Make no mistake, he knows my name. I'm not living for applause. I'm already so adored. It's all his stage. He knows my name. Oh, oh. I'm not meant to just stay quiet. I'm meant to be a lion. I'll roar beyond a song with every moment that I've got. True to who you are, you saw my heart and made something out of nothing. Yes, Lord, you know my name. I think many of us could echo those words. You saw my heart, you know my name. And someone in Scripture, the man we're talking about today, Bartimaeus, also knew that to be true. You know, our text today is unusual because most of the men and women that we meet in Jesus' encounters end up getting healed and they walk away anonymously. We never hear about them. We never know their name. The woman at the well, the centurion and his daughter, the woman with the flow of blood, that seems to be the norm for Jesus' healing encounters. No name, just a miracle to show the glory of God. And we have those stories because of the truth that they tell, not the particulars involved. They speak to the good news that Jesus brings. But this story is different. And I think it's intentional. Even his name, Bartimaeus, tells us something. It literally means son of Timaeus. And the name Timaeus, actually, you know, depending if you look at the Greek or the Hebrew, the name Timaeus can mean honorable, the son of an honorable man. Or it could mean unclean, the son of unclean. Now, most people, when they would have seen Bartimaeus and they would have seen his blindness, would have thought that he was unclean because most of the people in that day thought that if you had some kind of a physical ailment, you had done something against God and you deserved it. And so some of them would look at Timaeus and they'd have pity on him. But others who maybe thought of that name to be honorable, they would think that this was some kind of a cruel joke. That this son of an honorable man would be suffering in such a way and begin to blame the victim. But instead, as we meet this man, the son of an honorable man, we find him begging in the streets, blind and dependent on others for their charity, and that's where the story begins. But here's the good news. Whereas others would try to avoid him and walk by him, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't ignore his lack of status. And when that man called out his name, Jesus stopped and called him forward. You know, in VBS a couple of years ago, we learned another song by the same title of He Knows My Name. It was written by songwriter Don Moen. And based upon Psalm 139, and the lyrics of that song says, Psalm 139 says this, You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down and familiar with all my ways. And before word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You see, Don Moen in his song captures that psalm and tells us that God knows us intimately. God created us and He knows our name. And if you're feeling today a little forgotten, and that the world has passed you by, then think of Bartimaeus and his story. We're told that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he knew what was coming. He was going to be offered up as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. His fame had preceded him. The crowds gathered wherever he went. And as he was leaving Jericho, the people lined the streets 3, 4, 5, 6 deep just to catch a glimpse of this man. And as he was going out, that's where we meet Bartimaeus. And he's just sitting there, and you can imagine he's in his usual spot, begging, hoping to get a few alms to keep him going. And all of a sudden, people start showing up, standing next to him, standing in front of him, behind him, pushing him a little bit so that they can get in a little closer to the road. You can imagine that as the crowd began to gather, he might have even got a little excited because more people meant more giving. But as the crowd grew, he must have heard the name of Jesus being dropped. He heard that Jesus, this Jesus, was coming his way. It reminds me a bit of the Zacchaeus story. You know that wee little man who, when he heard that Jesus was coming and he couldn't see over the crowd, he climbs up in a tree just so he can get a look at Jesus. Well, here's Bartimaeus. He can't climb a tree. He can't see. He's blind. And so when he hears the murmur of the crowd getting a little louder, you know how our other senses seem to grow as we lose one sense, I'm told. He can hear the buzz that is growing. And all of a sudden, he can hear, and it sounds like maybe everything is in front of him. And he begins to shout out, because that's something he can do. Jesus, Son of David! Jesus, Son of David! Here I am. Now, the crowd tried to silence him. You know, isn't it interesting? So often when we read the scriptures of people coming to Jesus for help, the crowd is there, the disciples are there, someone is there to say, he's too busy. But the amazing thing is this, that Jesus stopped. In one translation of the Bible, it says, Jesus heard Bartimaeus and stood still. Now, I've wondered about that when I've read this story because, you know, if you've ever been in a crowd, there's usually a lot of noise. And usually there may be somebody, and maybe you've experienced it. You're walking through the mall or something, and you hear someone, and they're saying your name. And then you find out that when they say dad, 6 other people turn around. Or mom. With all that happening, it was almost like the woman with the flow of blood. You know, they're going through the crowd and people are bumping and jostling Jesus as they're going through. And suddenly Jesus stops and says, who touched me? And the disciples said, what, is he crazy? Who touched him? Who hasn't touched him? But in that crowd with the murmuring and the noise, he hollers out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. And I like to think he stops because he knew who it was. He knew his name. Maybe that's why Bartimaeus' name is lifted up in Scripture as a reminder that when we call out to God in the midst of the anxieties and the difficulties and the challenges and the fears and the worries of life, when we call out to him, he stops because he knows our name. There's a couple of lessons out of this story that I want to share with you today, and probably you've heard many of them before. But the first lesson we can learn from this story is not to let anyone silence your voice or dampen your enthusiasm when you're looking for Jesus. You know, there are a lot of naysayers out there who may challenge our faith and tell us it's foolishness, who may, when we believe that Jesus can heal us, they may tell us, oh, Jesus doesn't do that. They'll tell you to stop, to forget about it, to let it go. They'll tell you maybe even that Jesus and God doesn't care, that they can't help you, that your problems aren't big enough. But here's the truth. God knows your name. He knows my name. He knows our pain. And he knows what we're going through. And when you call his name, he hears you. And he will stop whatever he's doing to call you forward. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Keep calling out to him. Why? Well, here's the second lesson God cares about you and me. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. He wants us to walk with Him through life and into eternity. You know, we've got a couple of studies on Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life. And the number one purpose is God created you for His pleasure. He created me so that He could have a relationship with us, so that we could walk through life with Him and then beyond life into eternity. God cares. You know, too many people look at God as an otherworldly figure, the creator that sits apart from His creation. I've shared this before, but you know my Archie Bunker story? In one episode, Archie is deeply troubled by something that's happening in his life. I don't even remember what it was. But at that moment, his son-in-law, Michael, who is the atheist, says to him, "You're always talking about your God. Why don't you ask Him for His help? If He's as good as you say He is, He will hear your prayer and He'll do something about it." And Archie looks at him with this face of incredulity and says, "Ah, God is too busy creating hurricanes and earthquakes to want to deal with my puny problems." We laugh, but there are people who think that what we're dealing with right now is no big deal. God doesn't care about the fact that our cat died. God doesn't really think about the fact that we're worried about our job and whether we're going to have it. That God doesn't worry about the fact that you know, we've got a growth and we're worried it might be cancer. God's got other things to do. Well, that's not true. God cares about you. To Jesus, we are somebody and we matter. He knows our name. That's the good news in a world where we're constantly put on hold. You ever try to call somebody and you're on hold? And you're on hold? And they play some song usually that you just don't want to hear, so you'll hang up? We're in this world where we're known by our number. What's your social security number? What's your policy number? They don't know our name. They just know numbers. Or even this. I love going to the mailbox, and I love it when I get a letter addressed to occupant. We live in a world that has become more and more impersonal. We don't even know our neighbors in many cases. And yet to Jesus, we are a somebody, and He knows our name, and He cares. A third lesson from our story is that when Jesus calls us, we need to respond. What did Bartimaeus do? It says he threw off his cloak, he got up, and he went to Jesus. Faith is so much more than just believing with your head. You know, you can know the Bible. You can know every verse of the Bible, and you can memorize it. And yet, you can fail to act on it and live on it. Faith demands action. And when Bartimaeus was throwing off his cloak, he was saying to the world, "I don't need this anymore, because Jesus knows my name and He has called me forth." You see, that cloak represented his vulnerability. He wore it to protect himself from the elements. He was out there every day in the midst of summer and winter and spring and fall, and that cloak protected him, kept him warm, kept him cool. It was made with the fibers that they needed in the Middle East there. It also, I was told, was a great thing because, you know, the beggars would sit there and people would throw their coins down and so they'd throw them on the coat. And so instead of bouncing off, and maybe you've seen that, you know, a coin will bounce off and goes, they'd hit that fabric and they would just stop there. And so at the end of the day, he could just wrap it up and have everything safe and secure. It was part of his identity, who he was. Every day he sat there with his cloak, protecting him. He was saying, in effect, though, that when Jesus called his name, when I go to Jesus, I'll be made like new, and I won't need this anymore. You know, that's born again talk, right? You know, John Jesus and Nicodemus have that great talk about being born again, being a new creation. It's as if Bartimaeus was saying that in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone away and the new has begun. He doesn't need that cloak because now he's going to be following Christ. In a few weeks, we're going to have a service of believers' baptism. And we do baptism by immersion. And symbolically, what we say is we die to ourselves and we rise anew in Christ. And Bartimaeus was saying on that day when Jesus called his name that he was going to begin again. Now in his faith in Christ. He got up and went to Jesus. In some churches, they offer an altar call. You know, we can sit in our pew and we can say, yes, Jesus, I believe. Yes, Pastor, I agree with what you're saying and whatnot. But then the churches offer an invitation and they say, do you believe that Jesus saves? Do you believe that Jesus knows your name? Do you believe? And if you do, then come forward and let us pray for you. And it's not just an assent with your head or your lips, but your whole body. It's like offering that living sacrifice to the Lord, saying, yes, here I am, Lord. I'm yours now. Take me. I believe. And that's what Bartimaeus did that day. He got up, threw off his cloak, and said, now I belong to Jesus. The final lesson I want to lift up is that after he was healed, he began following Jesus. He took that song to heart, even though the song hadn't been written. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's saying, here I am, Lord. I believe, and now I belong to you. He became a part of Jesus' mission. We never hear his name again. It's not like he shows up in the Acts of the Apostle. He doesn't kind of stand there and hand things to Simon Peter or John or James. No, we never hear of him again. But we know from this testimony that his life was given to Christ, and wherever he went, he began to tell the story of how Jesus changed his life. He gave him his sight back. And the sight went deeper than just what he could see because he saw the truth of the good news in Christ. Now, there's something else that's interesting as I kind of wrap up. This story is the last healing story in the Gospel of Mark. It's a transitional story with a real sense of geographical movement. You know, in the Gospels, they tell the story about Jesus' birth, his beginnings, and the kind of his ministry, and they all lead to this last week of his life, the passion of Christ, where he becomes the Lamb of God and sacrifices himself so that our sins can be taken away and we can have the promise of eternal life. And so here we have this transitional story. After the healing of Bartimaeus at Jericho, Mark pivots to the triumphal entry. From now on, he's talking about what happens to Jesus as he goes into Jerusalem. And thus it begins Passion Week and the fulfillment of his mission. But just before the Bartimaeus story, the disciples, it says, were on their way to Jerusalem. They were continuing through the countryside, visiting the villages and towns, sharing the good news of God. Then they came to Jericho where they meet Bartimaeus, and after his healing, it says he followed Jesus along the road. And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. As with almost all the people we meet along the way in the Gospels, we never hear about Bartimaeus again, but with Mark's description of how he followed Jesus, those 17 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem, I like to picture the son of Timaeus reclaiming the honor of his name again, the son of the honored one, because now he belonged to Jesus. He was the son of David. In doing so, Bartimaeus reminds us all that Jesus knows our name too, and he invites us to the same journey of following Jesus on the way. And to the same confession, Jesus, you are the Son of David. Have mercy on me. I want to say to you today, if a blind man can see it, then certainly you and I should be able to see it as well. And so I want to invite you this day as we move into this fall season to get up, to throw off the cloak and follow Jesus because he knows your name and he's called you to follow him. Amen.